Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello there, and welcome to this Monday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, your host. I hope it's a beautiful fall day wherever you are in this country. And we're starting a new series today that I'm extremely excited about. If you've been with us, you know that we did 2 weeks on blessing and curses, and it was a powerful time of being set free and learning truths from God's Word as Derek Prince led us through that subject. And starting today, on this Monday, we're talking about two opposing kingdoms and Satan's headquarters, powerful teachings about spiritual warfare. Now, given the time of year, you can probably just look around you as we head towards Halloween and see some of the signs of the fact that there's evil in the world. There are dark things. If you look at what's around you, you may see skeletons and signs of evil and demons and what have you. Well, these are symbols of things that are real. There really are dark spiritual powers, demons and devils and things like that that operate in the world. And the Bible tells us that we have victory over them through what Jesus has done. You know, earlier in American history, we could speak about things like the Civil War, World War I, World War II, even nuclear war. These were fairly local events. I don't mean they weren't huge, but they happened in certain geographical regions. Even the World Wars did. But now, with Al-Qaeda and the global war on terrorism, it really is more of a universal war. It could break out anywhere in the world. I was in Guam not long ago, and they were focusing on Al-Qaeda and the war on terrorism, even though they're on the other side of the world. Well, all that to say that our spiritual warfare is very much like that global war on terror. It's everywhere, all the time. And yet the beautiful message is that we have weapons that are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds and resisting of conspiracies of evil. So let's get right to what Derek has to say to us today as he teaches us about two opposing kingdoms and Satan's headquarters.
There are many different pictures of God's people in the New Testament. In Ephesians, for instance, God's people are presented under the following pictures: a legislative assembly, a family, a temple, and as the bride of Christ. However, the final picture of God's people in Ephesians is that of an army committed to fight a war that is global in its proportions, one that affects and includes every portion of this globe on which we live. In fact, even the word global doesn't do justice to the scope of this conflict. It embraces not only this globe, the earth, but it extends beyond earth into the very heavens. In fact, the adjective which correctly describes this conflict is not global, but universal. It includes the entire created universe. The scriptures which most clearly introduce this conflict and describe its nature are found in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Let me pause there and point out that Paul takes it for granted that as Christians, we are involved in a war, that we need the appropriate armor for this war, and that our adversary is the devil himself. Then he goes on in verse 12. To explain more fully the nature of this war. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I've meditated so often and so long on that verse, Ephesians 6:12 in the original Greek, that I've come up with my own sort of paraphrase. You might call this the Prince version, and I'm going to give this to you now. For our wrestling match is not against flesh and blood, but I like the Living Bible there where it says not against persons with bodies, but against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority, against the world dominators of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Let me explain why I choose some of those words. I say rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority because the picture is of a very, very highly structured and well-organized kingdom with descending orders of authority and different rulers and sub-rulers responsible for different areas of their territory. And then I use the word dominators, the world dominators of this present darkness, because I believe dominate so vividly describes the way Satan treats the human race. Let me bring out some points that emerge from this verse that we've been discussing. First of all, the conflict involves all Christians. It's not some special group of persons like missionaries or pastors or evangelists, but it's all of us. It's absolutely general in its application to all Christians. Many Christians haven't seen it that way. I didn't quote the King James Version of verse 12, but it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." I once heard someone comment on this, that most Christians punctuate that verse wrong. They read it this way, "We wrestle not, period." In other words, after that, we sit in the church pew and sing hymns. But Paul says we're in a wrestling match, but it's not against flesh and blood. Then consider the import of the word wrestling match. Wrestling is the most intense of all forms of conflict between two persons. Every part of the body, every kind of skill, every kind of trick has to be used for success. It's total conflict. The fact that Satan heads a highly organized kingdom astonishes some people. Yet there are many clear indications of this in the scriptures. I want to read you some words of Jesus about this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 28. This is an incident in the ministry of Jesus. He had brought healing to a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. He brought healing by driving out the demon, the evil spirit. This is how it goes on. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Beelzebub means literally Lord of Flies. It's the title of Satan, particularly as the ruler over demons, because the demons are compared to flies or to the whole insect domain. Now let's read the comment of Jesus. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand?" There's certain clear implications of that. First of all, Satan has a kingdom. Secondly, it's not divided, it's highly organized. And thirdly, it stands. It has not yet been overthrown. Then Jesus goes on, "And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." You see that Jesus there mentions another kingdom, the kingdom of God. First he speaks of Satan's kingdom, then he speaks of the kingdom of God. And he describes one particular point where the conflict between these two kingdoms is brought right out into the open. He says, "When I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then you know the kingdom of God has come." I think the implication is that this particular ministry of driving out demons brings out the forces of Satan's kingdom into the open and also demonstrates the superiority of the kingdom of God, because the demons are driven out under the authority of that kingdom. So there are two kingdoms in opposition, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. Let's also look in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14. Paul says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Notice again, there are two domains or kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light, in which our inheritance lies, but there's also the dominion of darkness. The word translated dominion there in Greek is exousia, which means authority. In other words, whether we like it or not, Satan has authority. He is the ruler of a kingdom which the Bible recognizes. So these two kingdoms are engaged in mortal warfare, and the war is coming to its climax in our days as this age comes to a close.
Don't you love Derek's paraphrase of Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12? There's more to come on Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
There's only one thing worse than having a deadly enemy: having one and not knowing it. Now, in a new book from the writings of Derek Prince, you'll find one of the most comprehensive explorations of Satan's strategies and tactics you will ever read. In Lucifer Exposed, The Devil's Plan to Destroy Your Life, you'll gain powerful insights into the enemy's schemes and discover the spiritual keys to thwarting those attacks and walking in victory. This brand new book from Derek Prince will help you uncover Satan's strategic plan to destroy your life. In Lucifer Exposed, you'll find how to disarm the devil now so you can experience success in every area. To order your copy of Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Stop his plan. Order Lucifer Exposed. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, your host, where we've just begun a fascinating series called Two Opposing Kingdoms and Satan's Headquarters, a series by Derek Prince on spiritual warfare. I'm so eager to hear the rest of this first day on this teaching. I want to get right to it. So let's listen to Derek as he teaches us about spiritual warfare.
Let me begin by pointing out some passages that describe events long after the initial rebellion of Satan against God and his initial casting down as a result of that rebellion. And these passages indicate that at the time they were true, Satan still had access to the presence of God in heaven. We'd start in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, which says this: "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.'" So at that time, which was in the days of Job, we see that Satan still had direct access to the presence of the Lord. When God's angels came to present themselves and report to the Lord, Satan was there among them. It seems to me that the passage somewhat indicates that the other angels didn't identify Satan for who he was. And I can understand this because in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says that Satan is transformed as an angel of light. The passage creates in my mind the impression that the only one that identified Satan was the Lord. So he could appear in the presence of God, apparently mingling with the other angels, and not be detected. The Lord said, "Where have you come from, Satan?" In other words, what are you doing here? But the Lord didn't immediately banish Satan from his presence. He actually had some kind of a conversation with him. So we see in the time of Job, Satan was still having access to the presence of God in heaven. And then let's go on to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down.'" The accuser of our brothers, we know, is Satan. And notice that at this time, he's still been accusing God's people before God day and night. Then we go on to read, "They overcame him," that Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Then there's this commentary, "Rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." That passage indicates that at whatever point that applies, and I believe myself it's still in the future, Satan still has access to the presence of God, and he uses his access to accuse God's people in the presence of God. Clearly, all the above passages that I've quoted refer to periods long after the original rebellion of Satan. So what is the answer? My answer is this: there is more than one heaven. I believe this is clearly indicated all through Scripture. For instance, in the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The Hebrew word for heavens is shamayim. Im is the plural ending. The first time heaven is introduced, it's introduced in the plural. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6, we have this utterance of Solomon in his prayer to the Lord at the dedication of the temple. He says this: "But who is able to build a temple for him," that's the Lord, "since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him?" Where the translation says the highest heavens, the Hebrew says literally the heaven of heavens. Clearly, either translation indicates there's more than one heaven. The word heaven of, the phrase heaven of heaven, to me suggests a heaven that is above heaven, as high as heaven is above earth. At any rate, more than one heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, Paul is even more specific. He says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell." Paul says there he knew a man who was caught up to the third heaven. Before I became a preacher, I was a logician, and sometimes I can't get away from logic. Logic convinces me that if there is a third heaven, there must be a first and a second. So there are at least three heavens. And apparently the third heaven is where paradise, the place of rest of the departed righteous, is now located. It's also where God himself speaks. And then again in Ephesians 4:10, speaking about the death and resurrection of Jesus, Paul says, "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." Notice that phrase, "all the heavens." The word "all" can only be correctly used of at least three. I remember when I was teaching English to African students in Kenya, one day a student said to me, "All my parents have come to see me." I said, "You can't say all my parents, because no one has more than two parents. And if you only have two, you can't say all." Well, that applies to the phrase "all heavens." There must be at least three. I think that's clearly indicated by the whole tenor of Scripture. So I believe that leads us to the answer to the problem, how Satan's kingdom is still in the heavenly realms. Well, let's look at this revelation then that there are three heavens. I want to offer you my opinion. I do not offer this as established doctrine, but as what I believe to be a reasonable opinion, which seems to fit all the known facts of Scripture and of experience. There are three heavens. The first heaven is the visible heaven. The sun, the moon, the stars, that which we see with our eyes, the natural heaven. The third heaven, we know from 2 Corinthians 12, is God's dwelling place. It's where paradise is, the place of rest of the departed righteous. It's the place where this man who was caught up heard God speaking words that could not be uttered. So we're left with the second heaven. Clearly, this must be between the first and the third. So I understand there is an intermediate heaven between the heaven of God's dwelling and the visible heaven that we see here on earth. And I believe that in this intermediate heaven is where Satan's headquarters are located. I believe this explains the facts of our experience. It explains the fact that when we pray, we often find ourselves in an intense wrestling match. Sometimes I think we all not realize it's hard to break through to God. Sometimes we pray a prayer that's in the will of God. We believe God hears, and yet the answer tarries. Now, there can be more than one explanation of that, but I believe one major reason for experiences of this kind in the life of sincere, committed believers is that we're involved in a warfare, and that the headquarters of Satan's kingdom is located between the visible heaven and the heaven of God's dwelling.
Boy, sometimes Derek Prince rocks my world when he teaches. And this teaching about Ephesians 6:12 just changes the way I see myself. I'm not just alone in the universe or even just walking individually with God. I'm part of a military action. I'm part of a war between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. I'll have some more thoughts about this in just a moment as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The supernatural is real, but how Hollywood portrays it isn't. In his classic booklet, Expelling Demons, Derek Prince illuminates the dark side of the supernatural with the truth. Line by line, Derek reveals what the Bible says about how demons operate today and your authority over them. Now you can draw on Derek's extensive research and discover that as a Christian, you need not fear demons. In fact, it's your job to drive them out. For your free copy of Expelling Demons by Derek Prince, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Expelling Demons is a thought-provoking booklet that tackles this controversial subject, as only Derek Prince can. Call now to order your free copy, 800-448-3261, or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we've been listening today to a powerful teaching by Derek Prince on the subject of spiritual warfare. You know, I think this topic is one of the most important we can hear because we tend as Christians to absorb an attitude of the world that, hey, bad stuff just happens. Sometimes you have a good day, sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes you have a good hair day, sometimes you don't. You know, sort of tra-la, tra-la, que sera, sera. The reality is that the experience of our lives is the product of a war that's going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And we need to participate in that war, not just be its victims, not just be its collateral damage. And so Derek's teaching us about how we can make a difference, how we can use the weapons of our warfare to be part of the occupation forces of Jesus Christ. It's one of the most important topics we can learn. And by the way, once we really learn these principles, we'll start battling for our families, battling for our children, doing sort of the long-range artillery of prayer for our families, our lives, our businesses, the kingdom ventures that we're involved in. It's an extremely powerful teaching, and I urge you to join us every day this week, and as long as this series lasts, to really absorb this into your soul. By the way, if you miss any of the teachings, you can get streaming audio as well as podcast information on derekprince.org. And also, by the way, when you go there, you'll find out that there's a free resource available for you, the little booklet called Expelling Demons by Derek Prince, a powerful teaching about how to deal with the demonic. We're not overly preoccupied with the demonic. We simply want to defeat it in the way that the Bible tells us that we can. So Expelling Demons is available if you'll just log on the website at derekprince.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, you can get a free copy of Derek's booklet, Expelling Demons, when you call. It's our gift to you for spending time with us today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online, anytime, at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.